Well, but this guy avoided that trap. He wasn't a lawyer. He had spent, and where he got whatever help he got, but he made an excellent presentation and raised the issues very well. And those were the issues that determined it. Reading, in preparation for the hearing of that case, reading what we had before us, I had temporarily concluded, there ain't no way this guy's going to walk free, you know? It was a case in which...
Was he a personally attractive man?
Nothing particularly attractive. He came into court and he was dressed well. He spoke well. He looked decent. I guess he was a personally attractive guy, and didn't have a beard. The record ought to show that you have one, so that comment will be understood. No, but he's a...
Marx, M-A-R-X. Was there any significance in that name? Is this Karl Marx that gave him his first name? Marx Cooper, wasn't that it?
Was it? Or was it Marx or Max? I think it was Max.
Oh, is it? Well,
I don't recall. I think it was Max.
Okay, maybe I'm mistaken in my recollection. Yeah. I thought it was M-A-R-X.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
That was one of the memorable cases, right?
Yeah, I think so. It was a case that really taxed me.
Were there another case or two during that time that really stand out in your memory? How about the Indian fishing rights case?
I remember the very first case I had, Roger. We had been given our assignments, and I had my first assignment on a case that I had heard. Don't even remember what it was. We got back to our offices, and the next day Soapy called me from Detroit. And he said, Larry, I picked up such and such a case. It's a tax matter. The case that you were assigned, and he named it, is one that I've done some work on, a companion case back a couple of years, and he said, I'd like very much to have that case if you'd be willing to switch with me. And I said, well, I'd be glad to accommodate. What's the process? Do we have to go to the Chief Justice, or what do we do about this? And he said, oh, well, we can transfer cases if there's a reason. And he said, I think the reason would be that I have done a lot of the basic work on the questions that are involved in the case that was assigned to you, and I've already got it done.
Judicial economy, shall we say.
Judicial economy, whatever. And so I said, well, look, Soapy, if you work out the details of it, I don't have a problem with it. But I've got to tell you one thing. I don't like tax law, never did like tax law, don't practice tax law, and if you're giving me a tax case, that's going to make it difficult. And that's the case he gave me, and I sweated over that blankety blank thing, and finally got it worked out. And I guess everybody was satisfied. My recollection is that the court was unanimous on that. And
looking back, do you regard this as sort of a little bit of hazing? Or
no, I did not regard it as hazing.
Okay.
No. I don't think Soapy would ever refer to that. And incidentally, because I've mentioned him two or three times, I don't want you to get the impression, Roger, that I think that he and I, by the time I left the court, had a very good relationship. I remember when Blair Moody was nominated by the Democrats to run against me, he came to see me and he said, "Larry, I want you to know that Blair and I go back a long way. His father was a close friend of mine. I appointed him to fill a vacancy in the United States Senate." He said, "I've known him all his life. I've worked with him and for him in getting a judgeship, and he's asked me to head up his fundraising, and I'm going to do it." And I said that I appreciated his telling me that, that I regretted that because I felt he would be efficient and effective in doing what he was setting out to do. But I said, "You know, I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate your straightforwardness in coming in and telling me about it face to face." And he said, "Well, that's the way I prefer to do business." And it was the way he preferred to do business.
There really wasn't anything sneaky about
Oh, no.
Williams,
no.
Was there?
No.